Welcome back, everybody. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You. This is your host, Neo Gentrix. And it's been a pleasure doing these podcasts with you guys. But today, we're going to talk about SWOT analysis. Something that a lot of people aren't familiar with or even know exists. It's a strategic thinking skill, something that most leaders are required to have. And even if you don't have it, it can be earned or learned. So it's not completely out of range for a lot of people. Now, as to what SWOT means. A SWOT analysis is looking at the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities as well as threats. It's basically what it is. Essentially, it's simple, but useful structure for examining any situation or event. It can be used both on a personal level and a business level, depending on who you are and where you are. A SWOT analysis is particularly helpful in developmental contexts because it allows you to explore the positives and negatives of both you or your organization if you're a business, and the external environment in a relatively safe and controlled way, like what they call a controlled environment. It can therefore be used in, career discussions or in strategic discussions for businesses where all options can be put on the table and discussed straightforward. I can't tell you how many times I've had to tell people to do this as far as relationships is concerned because they keep coming to me for their problems, but I digress. This analysis, the SWOT analysis, has multiple functionalities. It can be used in several different templates or forms. It just depends on the user and whether or not they really want to put in the effort to do it. It does take a bit of work on their part. So we're going to take a short break and we're going to get started, okay? Alright, everybody. Let's go ahead and cover how to do a SWOT analysis. Alright? As you might expect, a SWOT analysis covers four general areas: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's the four main things that it covers. As a general principle, strengths and weaknesses relate to you or your organization because they're internal things, internal factors, things to consider within. And then the opportunities and threats are related to external environments or external factors like people outside, the structure of a building, things of that nature, how much it can hold up against. SWOT analysis is often done in a grid format, taking a piece of paper and dividing it into usually four quarters with a heading for each quarter, draw a box, put a label on the top of each one. You can do it side by side or in the shape of a giant square, brick broke into four squares. This means that you can easily see which areas might be a problem, and you can, make a very simple, easy list on what to do. Now, specific or general, it's a question to ask. SWOT analysis can be used to look at the general situation or a much more specific problem that you're facing or your organization is facing. The things you identify in each area will be different depending on whether or not you are looking at the general or specific issue. It is therefore important to make sure that you and everyone else involved is clear about what it is you're actually discussing at that point. Otherwise, you're just going to confuse yourself and everyone else. Now, first things first, strengths. Under the strengths category, you need to list things that are unique to you or your organization, or things that give you an advantage for most organizations and things of the like. Things like that would be intellectual properties like rights, patents, copyrights, cheaper manufacturing processes, or cheaper or better raw materials, quality advantage that they have that others can't copy, or the relationships they built with their customers over time, something of that nature. What you need to do is you need to ask yourself, what can or do we do better than anyone else? That is your strengths. It's worth answering this both for your own point of view and by considering what your customers, peers, or suppliers might say. And if you have a good relationship with them, you can even ask them directly and they'll give you their answer. The next point to keep in mind is your weaknesses. This one's not really all that much, but it's pretty straightforward. Let's just put it this way. It can be considered areas that you struggle in, what you don't do well as your competitors, what factors cause you to lose sales, for example, your customer support service is poor, or your prices are higher than your competitors, although you are offering very similar products. You know, again, it's worth considering both your own views and those of your customers or potential customers or lost customers or anything of the like, even the people that you just communicate with on a day-to-day basis. You know, find out what those people think and may need, have you run what they call market research to figure out a solution, or, you know, just some self-consideration, some self-thought. The whole key to this weakness thing is to be as realistic as possible. You need to face up to the problem areas that you have and address them, not walk away from them, not hide them, not cover them, you know, do something about it. Okay, next is opportunities. Identifying opportunities requires you to look outward and into the future a bit of ways in some way or form, okay? Mm-hmm. What's on the horizon? What can you take advantage of? What can give you that competitive edge that you need? You know, possible opportunities, possible outcomes, examples, new technologies, changes in the markets, things that can help you exploit, and this is going to sound weird, but exploit your customers in a faster mm-hmm. way, or rather exploit your competitors. You know, what they can't do, but you can do, use it to your advantage, something that can help promote you moving forward. Global changes, such as lifestyle changes, population changes, a pandemic. We're going to leave that one alone. Or political shifts, kind of like the previous presidential election, for example. Those may affect your customers' views on what they behave in, how they buy stuff, things of that nature. You know, changes in regulations, political opinions, although those you need to consider as early as possible. Local nation events, you can use selling opportunities that allow you to raise your profile or profit. Essentially, that's the whole point of opportunities. Opportunities may require you to change in some way to take advantage of whatever is right there in front of you. Example, in hiring new staff members or developing new skills. As you identify opportunities there, it's therefore always worth highlighting anything you would need to do to exploit them fully to their best advantages. Okay? Tip for the day. Use your strengths and weaknesses to identify opportunities. Okay? When you have identified all your obvious opportunities, it's a good idea to review your strengths to see if any of them open up any new opportunities in anyone else's minds by combining them with a weakness that you have to make that weakness a strong point for you. You can also review your weaknesses in a way and ask them if you can take advantage of them in a different way that'll allow you to also either eliminate the weakness or shade it enough that it's no longer a problem. And then last but not least, threats. Threats include anything that can harm you, your business, or damage your position in the market. They therefore include changes to the government. I think I already covered that, but I mean, it's a weakness, it's a threat, it's also an opportunity. So this is one of those that's like a double-edged sword. Changes in the government make it harder to build or eliminate business advantages that you hold. Changes to your competitors that allow you to catch or overtake them. Financial issues that might prevent you from taking advantages, like excessive debt or controlling stockholders, shareholders, that could be a bit of a pain. Or again, the natural change in the market, which is currently going on right now. Remember, threats are often the flip side of an opportunity, but you can turn those threats into opportunities if you know how to do it. How you do that is a threat, if identified early enough, can be an opportunity because you can overcome it faster than your competitors will. And this is something to keep in mind, especially for big corporations like Microsoft, Google, or even Sony with their PlayStation 5. I mean, there's a lot of threats out there. There's a lot of issues going on out there, especially the scalpers. But if you find a way to work around it, you can turn it into a profitable situation for you. Okay, so now we know how to do a SWOT analysis. Now this begs the question, when do you use a SWOT analysis? Well, I can answer that several different ways, but let's just go with the general idea. You can find this information anywhere online, so you know I'm not just making this up, okay? I'm taking bits and pieces from different websites as I go, but this is a known fact. I've done this for a while now. So it's not that you can't find it, but it'll be a lot easier if all the information's in one place and summarized to the point where you can understand it. So, question, when to use a SWOT analysis? Well, you can use a SWOT analysis in several different ways with several different possible purposes that can help you. The most common one would be the useful icebreaker or starting exercise, you know, in any strategic planning, you know, because it gets everyone thinking about how to get everybody on the same line with a common understanding of either the problems or the advantages that they're currently about to face. Another one is, you know, I mean, it can be used to surface hidden issues and problems, but in a safe way. Because its structure requires discussion about the problems and the weaknesses. So it's already out in the open, but now you're making it a little bit easier for everyone to understand. It can be used to discuss one or more specific problems and identify a way forward using those issues or any solutions that you come up with. It also is useful in thinking generally about a change in strategy, like say the one you had before didn't work. Okay, so where shall we go from here? That's the type of question you should be asking, like what can we do now? This didn't work, so what's our next best option? You know, you can also use it to think about your competitors. If you're a business person, and analyze their position to show where you could take advantage of whatever they missed, okay? In other words, it's very, 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 very flexible. This means that if you don't feel that you're getting very much by operating at a particular level, for example, thinking about general challenges that organizations or groups may face, you may want to stop and drill down into more detail into particular areas instead. So here's a tip for that. Getting the most out of a SWOT analysis for strategic planning revolves around the personal skill of most people and how they handle it, okay? A SWOT analysis is at its best when participants are required to be as specific as possible. For example, they should be challenged to quantify likely gains from particular opportunities or strengths and not just say, this has a better value. Okay, it's great that it has a better value, but why does it have a better value? What good does it do? You know, is there, if there's time, is it also helpful to get the participant, it is also helpful to get participants to think about which factors are most important so that they can get some agreement on the priorities for main action and activity moving forward. Now, remember to carry forward the findings from the SWOT analysis into later strategic planning. Don't just do it once, think that that topic is done, and then move on to the next one. You carry that information with you, especially if the next task requires the previous one. Just because the previous task is done doesn't mean the whole project as a whole is finished. A SWOT analysis helps in many, many ways, and its main focus is to help you understand just how much work you need to do, or your group needs to do, to either quantify the total result and make it the achievable, the most likely achieved goal that everyone's aiming for, or at least if the goal is unattainable, make it somewhat reachable or find something similar to the goal you were trying to achieve before. Mm-hmm. That's the only purpose that this serves. And like I said before, it's very, very flexible, okay? It can be used in many different settings, you know, from planning your future to going to college to getting an apartment. It's just a matter of the person and how mm-hmm. much thought they're willing to put into it and how much effort they're willing to spend. Okay? Alright, and that's it for a basic SWOT analysis, okay? Like I said, SWOT analysis has been around and used in businesses for over 50 years, and it can even be used in non-business situations. It's a simple structure, it's easy to apply, it's very flexible, it's useful for in many tools or situations. You can use it as a tool, you can use that tool to make other tools that are more useful. I mean, yes, we have a lot of new features and functions and stuff nowadays that we can use. But sometimes the old stuff is better. It's just a matter of how it's being used, who's using it, when they use it, and how much effort you're willing to put into it. Now, I covered what a SWOT analysis is as a general whole. But next time, I'm going to cover a personal SWOT analysis in a little more detail so that you know how to use this in your day-to-day life with little to almost no effort. All right? Well, guys, it's been fun, but it's time to go. This has been Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, and I'm your host, Neo Gentrix, and I'm going to catch y'all next time. Peace.